Moncrief on News Talk.
Multitasking is taken to be performing more than one task simultaneously. Women are supposed to be good at it. Men aren't, because we keep thinking about sex all the time. Some academics claim that it's actually not possible to do. Others say it can be damaging. Kira Green is an associate professor at UCD's School of Psychology, is currently painting her kitchen and writing a monograph while conducting an interview with us. Good afternoon, Kira.
Hi, Sean. Let me just put down the paint roller there for a second while I pick up the phone.
Thank you for that. But is multitasking really just switching? If you're cooking a meal and listening to a podcast, are you literally doing those two things simultaneously, or maybe there's minute switches between the two?
Well, I suppose the best way to put it is you can do two things at the same time, but you can't think about two things at the same time. Mm. So when we talk about multitasking, when people talk about, you know, the fact that they're, you know, oh, I'm writing this thing and I'm also sending a text to my friend and I'm also planning dinner tonight. When you think about that kind of cognitive multitasking, where we're trying to think about two things at the same, or more things at the same time, that we're not actually doing that. What we're actually doing is rapidly switching between thinking about different things. But we are able to actually do things at the same time. I'm talking to you now and I'm also walking up and down, and I'm able to walk up and down without, you know, tripping over my feet while holding a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's because, you know, a lot of the tasks that we do, that we kind of those sort of physical tasks that we do, those are things that are so automatic. We don't actually need to think about them to do them. We don't need to focus on our feet in order to not trip over them. But when you think about actually trying to think about things, so if you're trying to listen to the podcast and you're also trying to, you know, plan what's going to go into the dinner later on, then you'll find that maybe while you're thinking about the planning for the dinner, you've missed a bit that was important in the podcast, or you're really paying attention to the podcast and you've accidentally put too much salt into the dinner.
Yes. The way we experience that, a lot of the time, if we're doing those two tasks, we're probably not aware that there might be little micro fractures in our concentration there.
Exactly. Yeah. We tend to think of it as though, oh, I'm doing all these things at the same time. And like with a lot of things in our cognition, a lot of the time that works fine. The task switching that we do is very rapid. And mostly that's fine. It works grand. We tend to notice that we're doing these things when they kind of fall apart. So we tend to notice it when an error creeps in. So, you know, you're on the phone to somebody and you're having a conversation going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, you're looking up, you know, the bus timetable for later. And then you ask them a question like, and you know, what time are you doing that? And they say, I literally just told you that. And you realize, oh, actually, I thought I was successfully multitasking here. I thought I was successfully doing two things at the same time. But clearly, my attention was distracted from the conversation while I was looking up the bus times. And I missed, you know, something that was said to me. So most of the time, it's fine. Most of the time, we keep it up enough. But then where we notice the fact that what we're doing this, that we're actually doing this task switching, is when we realize, oh, there's some error crept in there and I missed something because my attention was elsewhere for that couple of seconds.
Yeah. You know, those American medical dramas, and invariably there's some scene where some hotshot surgeon's going to perform complex brain surgery, but insists on listening to Public Enemy while he's doing it. You know, that would worry me, to be honest.
Actually, no, I think that's fine, because the kind of having music in the background, you know, that kind of thing, what you're not doing there is like, you're not sitting consciously attending to the music. If you were paying really close attention to it and, you know, at the same time as doing surgery, you were trying to figure out exactly what the chord progressions were in the music, well, then in that case, you know, that might be a problem because your attention is distracted. But just having the music on in the background, mostly you're not consciously attending to it. So it's not really kind of using up a lot of that sort of mental bandwidth that we need to focus on things.
Okay, so if you're trying to do two relatively complex things at the same time, your concentration can lapse slightly. Does it also, if you like, increase the cognitive load on the brain?
Well, it does to a certain degree, yeah. So look, I mean, the thing is, our brains are very good at rapidly task switching. This is something that's just kind of part of our everyday activity. We're very good at doing it. But the more things that you're trying to do at once, the more balls you're trying to keep in the air, the more likely it is that one of those balls are going to drop, and the more tiring it is to kind of be constantly doing that sort of back and forth switching. So there are some costs to engaging in that sort of task switching. You know, like mostly when we measure them, they're very small, you know, they're kind of like small changes in reaction time. You slow down doing one task versus another. And most of the time, that's okay. But if we add a lot of those kind of small changes, they can add up over time. And then depending on what it is you're doing, sometimes that really small switch can be important. Like, you know, that kind of extra couple of seconds or, you know, half a second to respond to something might not be important in a lot of cases. But let's say you're driving the car and you're distracted by a conversation with someone and you're a half a second too late to slam on the brakes when someone runs in front of you. Then in that case, that distraction matters and it counts.
You know?
And it can have real consequences. A lot of the time it doesn't really, but you know, the more things we are trying to kind of keep in the air at the same time, the more difficult that is. And then a lot of the time then that means when we have a lot of sources of distraction available to us and our attention is kind of constantly bouncing back and forth between those, it can be very hard then if you're really trying to do something that requires you to have sustained attention on it.
Yeah, because I suppose the most common example of this is, you know, you can be watching the TV, but you're also looking at Instagram at the same time.
Totally. This is why all the film studios now, they all make films that are designed for kind of, you know, like only half watching. They design them now so that they'll put in notes. The producers will put in notes saying, can this character say out loud what they're doing for people who aren't really watching?
Yeah.
And I do that. I'm guilty of doing this. I always have my phone in my hand when the TV's on, you know, and then you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And this is actually one of the reasons why I prefer sometimes going to the cinema, because you can't have your phone on. So then you are forced to really focus on one thing at a time and you take in much more of that information then than you do when your attention is kind of split between the two things.
If we keep doing that, does it have, because there is kind of a, I suppose, a widespread assumption now that particularly social media and, you know, you're looking through reels that are all short, that's somehow eroding our ability to concentrate for long periods of time.
I've heard that a lot. I don't really think the evidence for that is there. Yeah. So look, I mean, you know, you hear a lot of kind of fairly panicky assertions to that. And I will keep an open mind on it, but I've yet to see any very conclusive data saying that these things are doing any kind of long-term damage. Our brains are very, very adaptable. So we respond to changes in our environment. Now, that's not to say that changes in our environment can't in themselves then end up causing us, you know, kind of difficulties. So having an environment that is filled with lots and lots of distractors is inherently distracting, you know, and then that can, you know, affect your ability to really kind of engage with things that you want to engage in. So, you know, let's say you're trying to study for something, or in my case, maybe I'm trying to write a paper, or, you know, you're trying to do something that requires you to really focus on it. And your phone is going bing, bing, bing all the time and people are sending you Instagram reels and, you know, you've got stuff going on. And it's, you know, it is constantly this little sort of like theft of attention that's sort of grabbing your attention away to different things. So that can, you know, undermine our ability to kind of maintain our focus on something and to keep doing what we're doing. And we kind of get into that habit of letting our attention be captured and diverted elsewhere. And our attention systems are designed that way. We have two attention systems in parallel. We have one that's kind of what we call top-down attention, when we're choosing to direct our attention to something because it's relevant to, you know, whatever we want to achieve in life. And then we have another system that's sort of more bottom-up, that's kind of where things that capture our attention because they're potentially important. And that's, you know, evolutionarily important. You know, if you know that the lion comes roaring across the plain, or, you know, there's suddenly a big fire or a big noise, you need to be able to divert your attention to that really, really rapidly to have it capture your attention and change your behavior. You know, we wouldn't survive very long if we said, I'm going to ignore that lion because I'm really, really interested in continuing to gather my nuts and berries. You know, you're now a meal for the lion. So we need to have that system that responds very rapidly when there's something that's potentially a threat, or, you know, it's something that's potentially important. But that evolved system then, you know, works in the same way when the thing that's capturing your attention is a buzz on your phone. You know, so it's something that's where you get this, it's like a circuit breaker where that interrupts your intentional attention and grabs your attention onto something else. So it's important that we have that system. It's evolved for a reason, but we sometimes need to control the sources of distraction that are kind of sort of piggybacking or hijacking that system to kind of grab our attention to things that we actually don't need to be focusing on.
Yeah, but I suppose we have to keep making constantly making decisions about what we should let our attention be focused on and what's trying to distract us that we don't need necessarily.
Yeah, and the thing is that, like, it's, you know, once your attention's been captured off something and then you have to re-divert back, there's a cost to that. So really a lot of the time what that means is it's kind of simple things. Like it's saying, if you're trying to focus on some task that you want to complete, you know, make life easy for yourself. Turn off the notifications on your phone. So then there's fewer things cat trying and kind of poking at you and trying to grab your attention. You know, our attention systems are the way they are. They evolved that way for a reason. We can't change that system, but we can try and change the distractors in our environment that are capturing our attention.
Yeah. And has no one done any research into whether social media is has an influence on people's attention span now?
Oh, loads of people have done research into it. I just don't rate all of it.
Right. Okay. And why don't you rate it?
Oh, look, I mean, some of it...
Because you couldn't concentrate on it when you read it?
Maybe that's it. Yeah, maybe I was distracted. Maybe I was reading it while I was watching TV. There is some good research looking at effects of social media stuff. So there's some trying to look at things like, what's the impact of like watching lots and lots of short content? And, you know, does that kind of train our attention span to be a bit shorter? And, you know, there's kind of some evidence, but as I say, mostly really the thing is that mostly our attentional systems and our cognitive systems more broadly are just really flexible. And like, so in a way, I kind of find the idea that we can have cognitive systems that have evolved over hundreds of thousands of years. And then suddenly in the last 5 years, they've just totally been altered and changed. I just don't find that terribly credible. But that is not to say that there aren't environmental sources of distraction, but those sources are just more sources of distraction, and they interact with our brain in the same way as any other source of distraction does. But if there's more and more and more of them, then they're going to be more and more and more distracting.
Yes.
So what we kind of try to do is then to say, well, let's try and limit those sources of distraction when you're trying to concentrate on something. Let's try turning off all those notifications. You know, let's try kind of making those things less immediately available to us.
Yeah. So one of our listeners is texting in to say our short-term memory capacity has dropped from 12 seconds to 8 seconds in the last 20 years since the introduction of smartphones.
Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah.
No, that's actually not true. And our short-term memory capacity isn't defined by time. It's defined by the number of objects or number of items that you can hold in memory. It's actually not just about maintaining information. It's about what you can do with that information in your mind that you manipulate and alter that information. So sometimes you see these kind of headlines. One of the article that your researcher had sent me said something like, it takes 15 to 23 minutes to recover from task switching. And I was like, I've never heard that before. What is that? So I went and looked it up, and there's this number floating around the internet that it takes 23 minutes to recover from task switching, but it's not based in any kind of fact. I think eventually it went down to, it's in loads of these kind of like businessy type, you know, like Substack articles about like how to fix your brain, you know, like how to like, you know, kind of really amp yourself up. But I couldn't find any, I didn't think it sounded real. And I went through the literature and I couldn't find any evidence for that at all. So, you know, sometimes you just get these numbers that kind of get that sort of grab attention. And, it, you know, it might be that like there might be some paper that's looking at, you know, some kind of attention span element, and then they report the number, and then somebody says, oh, that's different from the last study. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there's been some huge substantial change. Look, I want to be clear here. Like I don't like to, you know, over dramatize the effects of, you know, social media and things. But I also think we do need to acknowledge that the environment that we're in has changed quite a lot. But the underlying cognitive structures haven't changed.
Yeah.
So what we need to think about is the environmental things that are hijacking, if you like, those same evolved mechanisms that we've always had to respond to, you know, things that capture our attention, things that might be important. But now a lot of those things just aren't very important, and there's more and more and more of them. So we need to kind of take control of our own environments in order to take back ownership over our own attention.
Kira, thanks very much for speaking with us today. I'll let you get back to painting the kitchen. That's Kira Green there, Associate Professor at UCD School of Psychology. A fair few texts on this. Is multitasking something that women are just naturally better at? My husband infuriates me as he cannot juggle more than one thing at once, and everything is at a snail's pace. He can barely fill the dishwasher incorrectly while holding a conversation. But maybe, you know, that as Kira said, multitasking doesn't actually exist in that sense, that your attention is being, now maybe he has to think more about filling the dishwasher. Maybe that's the problem there. Multitasking is easy enough and done by everybody. It's what you could call muscle memory. You've to take care of 22 kids and put dinner on and so forth. 22 kids and so forth. And you've practiced this over the last 10 weeks. You'll do it without thinking. Another text that says, this sounds like living with ADHD. Can you ask your speaker if it's okay to do two things at once, as long as they're two different modalities, such as listening to the radio or doing a mechanical task? I believe Bedili did research in this area. That's cognitive psychology. Well, I think her answer was yes. She was walking up and down talking to us. And, you know, walking is something you probably don't have to think about too much. Another texter says, yesterday I was on a work call. I was in a text chat with the broadband company. I was breaking up a fight between my 7 and 8 year old, and I had a teenager asking me for money, all at the same time. To say my brain was fried is an understatement. Another person wonders, are we actually just distracted and calling it multitasking? Surely we would be better trying to do it all at once and actually just committing to one task at a time. Though somebody else says, disagrees with Kira, TikTok is absolutely 100% affecting people's ability to concentrate on anything that is in any way long form in comparison. Well, as Kira said, there's not a lot of research backing that up, and the research you can find confirming what you've just said can be found on TikTok. Can't you have your phone in the cinema? What cinema does she go to? Obviously a very exclusive one for psychologists.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.